Welcome to another exciting episode of the So Nigerian podcast. And today we brought an interesting episode for you guys, as we always do. We brought an episode on informal job sector, courtesy of Jobberman. And as usual, I didn't come alone today. So many esteemed guests. As I am like this, I'm just oozing. I'm just feeling aura everywhere. Let me start with the person that is oozing the most aura beside me, you know, award-winning actress. Purity advocate, brand influencer, author, public speaker. Some of us even watched that growing up.
What do you mean? That I'm old?
No. I remember her from my
I remember watching her from, you know,
to my childhood.
From your childhood.
Yes,
that's a fat lie.
When I was a child.
That's a big fat lie. How old am I? 90 years old?
No. Just two years. Well, yes, you guys know her from Jennifer's Diaries, House of Gar, Lisa B, Walk Reed Chook, Mrs. Juliana Olayode. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Miss, so that you don't spoil my market. Please, it's Miss. M-I-S, Miss. Maybe by, you know, it can change, but right now it's still Miss.
Yes, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And also, we have the monitoring, evaluation, research, learning lead from Jobberman. She did this report for you guys, and she's here to come and answer questions upon questions. Gloria, thank you for being here.
Thank you. It's Glory, sorry.
And of course, last but not the least, the man of the show today. We have the CEO of Runner, Misan. Thank you so much for being here. Let me start with Glory before we even say, okay, let's go too far. So I was going to ask you, what's the impact of the informal job sector in Nigeria's economy? As we're all Nigerians, what's the impact? What does that have to do?
Well, it's huge. Mm-hmm. Just looking at the employment landscape in Nigeria,
yes.
I don't know. It would be difficult, yes, to even measure any impact without the informal sector.
Mm.
Looking at, in terms of job creation, in terms of opportunities, there's a lot of dispute around the recently published NBS's report.
Okay.
But one of the things that stood out was we'd see that over 92% of employed Nigerians,
yes,
are in informal employment.
Yeah.
And also, I think over 75% of the employed population are self-employed.
Mm.
So that tells you that people are actually creating opportunities for themselves. Mm. And the more structured formal space is not really creating new jobs, per se. And so the informal sector is really like the backbone in terms of job creation,
yeah,
innovation, opportunities for young people generally.
Mm. So in addition to that, I was going to ask you, Juliana, you know, you being a creative author, so many things you do, you know, why do most people leave the formal sector for like informal jobs, you know, relaxed jobs, you know, things that not particularly relaxed, but being in the informal sector, you know, why do people migrate towards that?
Okay, I think that one of the reasons can be that people just want to have their own time and their own life.
Mm.
Because doing a formal job can really like take a lot of your time sometimes, and you're not in control of your time. Let's say if you even live in Lagos, you have to wake up early and plan traffic with your day. Yes, exactly.
Not 9 to 5, 5 to 9.
Because you have to wake up really early, all of that. And then you don't even have time for yourself, because going back home with a lot of work to do, to be submitted, to be sent emails and all of that.
Yeah.
So I feel like sometimes it's just because people want to have their time. Other times, I feel like a lot of people just started this formal job because, oh, I went to the university to study this. Mm. So let me just
so many pressure.
Do it.
Mm.
Let me just do the work. But eventually, maybe the older they get, the more they realize that I'm not really happy doing this. Let me go for what I'm happy doing. Maybe being a singer, being an actor, being an influencer,
a
fashion influencer, you know, a tailor. Oh, a fashion designer.
Today, I don't know the difference between fashion designer and tailor.
Let's just leave it at fashion designer, please. Please, I said fashion designer. You know, you just want to follow your dreams. And I think also, Sometimes when you also look at the fact that you can be your own boss and nobody is controlling you, or you can increase your salary, decrease your salary. even though,
there's freedom.
There's freedom. But sometimes when you now start doing that informal job, you now realize that,
it's not as easy as I thought.
Because you put in so much money, you lose so much money, especially when you're starting. But I feel like these are some of the reasons. Also, sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes people in the informal sector make more money than people in the formal sector. Depending, sometimes, not all the time.
Yeah.
Say, for instance, somebody is earning like maybe 700K in a month.
Mm.
That's somebody's money, or even more than that, for doing just one content. Yeah.
Wow.
So, and they just think, okay, let me just leave these people because they want to keep me here. Let me migrate.
Sorry, this question is in relation to your answer, in the sense of freedom, in the sense of following your dreams. Is there a way you can have a dream in the formal sector? I don't seem to, you know, do people have dreams?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
No, you go.
I think that people do have dreams
in the formal sector.
For instance, I have a sister that likes to read books. Oh, right now she's in Germany. I can never be her because she's learning language. Although I love languages, but I'm not really good with it. But, you know, she keeps reading. And I'm like, your brain will be tired one day. You just get, your brain will just wake up one day and say, no more.
Leave me.
I'm not doing it again. I mean, I know that our brains cannot do that, but she keeps reading and reading. And I think that some people are just naturally like that.
They're
satisfied with being, you know, working in a formal space and aspiring to be more like, what's the highest level I can get doing this formal job? Yeah. So that's everything they want, taking more certifications, just pushing through and just learning because their whole life, they don't ever want to join you people in the social media or any other sector. They just want to retain their formal job and get to the highest level they can ever attain and be the best they can ever be.
Yes, because some people learn skills, some people find it hard to even learn a skill. Like me, for example, I can tell you that in a way, I think I'm talentless. Like I don't have
this podcast.
No.
This is your talent.
On this podcast.
Let's say, this one I even had to learn it, and it took me time to be comfortable.
Found the talent now.
Exactly. So some people that are very, we have had guests before that are not as camera and microphone comfortable like the way you guys are.
Yeah.
You know, there's some people that after each sentence, cut this part, make it hard for us. You understand? But you know, it is for Juliana.
It's a
you had a shoot earlier today.
It's a professional.
So, you know, it's not easy for some people to learn a skill. And those people that it just comes with them naturally, like they're just very artistic, they're just very creative.
Yeah.
So it brings me to you being somebody that works with a lot of artisans, you know, having a platform where we can find artisans and all of those things.
Yeah.
How can you even say you can just tell us what Runner App is all about and how you guys find artisans or people creatives that are very good? Yes.
Yeah, but so first, if you even look at three of us here, I studied theater art. So
what?
I studied theater art from University of Ibadan. So like performance is somewhere in my blood. But like you could find out that, and that is one of the things that I learned really quick. Being in the, I did theater, I went into tech, then I started and I entered informal sector because you just realize that when you do something like theater, you start to see theater is very informal, but it could be very formal. Like it dwindles between both ways, right?
Yeah.
The creativity in itself, you find out that it takes a lot. Sometimes you see a content and you're like, oh, this 1 minute content.
Yeah.
If you know how many cuts, how many, the preparation that goes into it. Mm. And it brings me to my company Runner. And what we have been doing for the last 4 years is, every single time you scroll through social media, you must see a nanny did this, a driver ran away with this, this person did this. And you find out that the major problem we have been seeing is, there's no database for these guys. There's no database. We don't have, in order for Nigeria to grow, even in the informal sector, we have to have pioneers of that carry this database.
Mm.
So we then chose to say, okay, you know what? We have LinkedIn for white collar people. Why don't we build a LinkedIn for skilled workers? Where they can get their ratings, where it's not cho-cho-cho, you don't need to explain yourself. I will send you my profile, you can see things about me.
Yeah.
And it's easy. And you are either on our platform, either you are verified, you are unverified, or we are pursuing you. There's no, you can't dodge. No, it's like verified, you see it red there. This person has a pending issue. Do not employ, do not engage. And the reason why we are doing that is because unlike every other platform out there where you say, oh, you must get the person from us, we believe that all these guys walk on the street naturally.
Mm.
And you just see them, oh, this guy need a plumber. And he will come, I'm the best plumber in my village. Yeah, I've done work. There's no evidence to that. So for us, we are now saying, do not employ anybody that doesn't have a verified runner profile. Don't employ anybody. Because if you employ him and he steps on your TV, because they are my
week, fixed up TV will be over.
My WhatsApp alone now. Me and Zone 2 police station, we are like this. Because you would see, you just hear, you in the informal space, you hear the darkness of things. So I'm asking someone who is you are a billionaire. The person who is driving you, doesn't have guarantor. He doesn't have this thing. The company is seeing you as you're a $1 billion worth of this thing. But the driver, you can't trace him. He will just drive you on that trailer and everything. It's $1 billion go.
He'll tell you sorry.
Emma Pino. It will end like that. So for us, we are now like, can we create a verified space? Can we start, sifting through this data? Mm-hmm. We started off trying to do recruitment, right? And it's something I was discussing with her in the car. I said, it's a scam. Whenever you want to enter this space, you say, informal sector, they need jobs. Yeah, it seems that way. But look at them. If you sack a driver today, before Monday, he has a new job. Somebody else has employed him. For us, we are like, how do we now set up a verification system where people are now more aware of, okay, send me your profile. My profile. I don't have a profile, though. You must have profile. You must have something. Because even all of us, whenever we want to get a job, employment, something, they're either looking at Instagram or they're looking at our LinkedIn. Most likely, white collar, they're checking out, the HR is checking out your LinkedIn to check your profile. And in that LinkedIn section, you're seeing things like experience, training, is some of the things that we have now put in there.
Place for the informal.
Yes, informal guys, so that they can have a digital footprint. That's what we're trying to build.
That's very impressive. I'm never going to lie. Because I even had a situation where somebody came to fix the AC and he stole money. And we don't know how to format
that. It goes on. It's where you work your chop.
So you don't know how. This AC guy, the mechanic referred him to us.
Of course.
Everything. Mechanic called the guy, he was his friend.
That's
the AC guy. So we asked that, we not find this guy again.
Yeah.
So that's, and I'm sure I'm not the only person that has that.
I'm currently dealing with a case where someone had a security guard that has been working for him for years. This security guard went into the estate. You know, when you are so confident, you rented Hayab, that is to carry Jen, went, picked the 40 kV and left. 40 kV generator gone. So where's the guarantor? Who do you name for? He's the Suleiman that got me the country sim. Then we then finally found out that he's not even Nigerian. So how do you trace that? He can just go to Chad or go to Cotonou and who? You know, so.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It happens a lot. And, bring him to my next question to Glory on how the 76, because I read your reports, about 76.7% of the job sector in Nigeria is to the informal job sector.
Yeah, so how does that, based on the
NBS's. NBS's report, rather. How does that affect the informal economy, like just the economy as a whole?
General. You know, just like I was saying during the introduction, that you'd see that the informal sector is actually the bedrock in terms of job creation.
Mm-hmm.
And, while she was speaking, I wanted to add a few points before I then talk about this. One of the reasons why you see the formal sector losing talent is also because there's an assumption that because something is formal, what's the normal way of saying formal? 9 to 5. That is structured. it might not be.
True.
So we got feedback from a lot of young people that, okay, I mean, this formal job, but my JD is so confusing.
Yeah,
you know, I'm the writer, I'm the social media, this, I'm combining 10 roles.
Yeah, and it happens a lot in Nigeria.
Exactly.
Where they want you to, they employ you as this, but then you start the job and then you're doing so much.
Yeah.
And then when you're not meeting up to the expectation, they make you feel like you're not doing the job.
Performing
like
on the job,
there
exactly.
are other people who would be crying to take your job. Sorry to
cut you. That's very valid. Like, that was something that really stood out. And we saw that, because why would someone leave a well-structured, in quotes, formal into an informal space? And then we saw that it's really... One of the major reasons is that poor role definition. And then what's the amount of work you're putting in is not commensurate to the value, the money that you're getting paid. Mm. So I think 18% of the people we surveyed said they left formal jobs because the pay wasn't good and also because they were putting a lot of effort and it wasn't translating into, value. And so you see them going to startups and sometimes it might be like a social enterprise, a group of young people starting something. Just like we heard yesterday when we had the program on Be a Boss Lady,
yeah.
We talked about just your friend coming to you and saying, you have this gift, why don't you think of doing something about this?
Yeah.
And they'd rather just put their time. You don't even have clarity on how you guys are going to make money yet.
Right.
But because you know that what you're doing matters,
yeah.
The work that you're doing, you can see that it's going to add value. You see them going into this kind of spaces or just retrospect and say, I have this gift. I'd rather just work on this. And also, I know you'll get to digital platforms later, but you now have opportunities for freelance.
Mm. Yeah.
Why, if I'm going to combine 10 skills on one job, why don't I get paid per skill?
Yeah.
I'll just, apply for this one here.
Like Juliana. Otto, yes. Everything. Money's coming from everywhere.
And like she said, flexibility. I can combine three. And there's this mirage too that you think because you're wearing a suit and tie and ordering Uber. The Uber driver is probably making more than you. If you break down what you're earning, and then you see that time, very, very important. Yeah. So, you see people that they also have specific goals that, okay, even though I'm on this job, I want to take these courses, I want to move in this career path, but the job is not affording me the time. So I'd rather just do Uber for 6 months. I'll resign and I'll be able to take the course. We had very... interesting. I think you should just read the reports. We heard very interesting things about why people transition, and specifically women.
Yeah.
I know Juliana will speak to women. Flexibility is very, very important. So if you look at what's the impact of this in the formal economy, I think there's a negative and there's the positive. It's forcing employers to be more creative about retaining talent. You don't own people. Now, talent sharing is a thing. It started in the tech space.
Yeah.
Where, if you can't have any other job, you can't have us. And so there had to be like some sort of policy around, freelance, remote,
contract jobs.
But the implication of that is many of those jobs, because you don't really have policies that hold employers accountable, they are not protected. So you don't have like pension or HMO. So it's like, you want flexibility, that's fine. But if you're not going to commit to full time, then maybe your employment structure is not going to be very, very protected.
Sorry, before, in addition to what you said something about financial security, And I feel like that's one of the reasons why I focused on my 9-to-5 more than I ever the podcasting, because I know that by the end of the month, I'm getting a salary. Economy is not waiting for you.
Mm.
My house rent is not waiting for me. Do you understand? So like, how can we address financial insecurity in the informal job sector? Like, there are some days as a private, like a brand influencer, I might not even get gigs for a month, 2 months, self. Do you understand? And then third month, can get a gig that will sustain you for 6 months. So like that, the uncertainty. So, the financial insecurity is not as much as the financial security in the formal job sector. And that's one of the reasons why people are afraid to go into the informal job sector, even if they
Very volatile.
She understands. So how can we address financial insecurity in there?
I think the people in the space are already finding creative ways to address it.
You know,
that's one very interesting thing.
Okay.
And you know when we say informal sector, there are many angles to it. You have like the traditional informal sector, right? But then we're talking more about young people that are like creatives and all that. Because why I'm saying that is those in that traditional space too, they have a very they have a very creative way of managing it. They already know that in this season, this is when money comes. So they have this saving culture. They would put the money somewhere and then they would, you know, invest it. Mm. And even if they are not investing it, they just save it for rainy days, right? Mm. They already know that this is, it could be in agriculture. This is like a farming season. And this is when we harvest. And then, you know, they just literally save for the rainy day. That might not be sustainable, but that's like part of what they are doing. And we're also seeing things around what we call informal employment incentives. Mm. So even though you don't have like pension and HMO, you see employers giving incentives like a meal a day, right?
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget that the informal space is more, it's more familiar. Like you have people that have bonds, they are connected. Just like the example I gave, what is binding you is not necessarily just a contract. And so you have, we had cases where people were saying that across the country, it wasn't just a regional thing.
Yeah.
What my employer is doing now is, we know that the business is struggling and we don't make money every time. But in cases where it can support my child in terms of, you know, providing school
providing
fees, he does that. When we need to get drugs, you know, he contributes to that. So it's just that
so
care.
That
yeah. support, exactly. So it might not look like a big deal and that is not, maybe it's not sustainable, but that's something that employers are doing. And then we now have like a micro saving and pension scheme that the government is already working on where, okay, you know what, no matter how small, because we don't have a very good saving culture, it's not really that what you're making, you can't put something aside if you make it a duty. So just better saving culture, and maybe investments. Yeah, then access to market is very important. Some businesses are not doing well, not because they can't make money regularly. It's just that access to market is not well.
So in conclusion, financial security in the informal job sector depends on the individual. That's what you're saying. So leading that to Juliana, being that she's jack of all trades, master of all. How, obviously, like starting off, how were you able to, you know, tackle? Because I know that there must have been times where, you know, things might not have been going as secure financially.
Like fear will be choking
and
you.
Do you like understand? So like, how were you able to tackle all of that kind of like, you know, just being in the sector?
To be honest, like the fear of...
fear of the unknown.
The fear of not even knowing if maybe by next month I'm going to be on any set or by the time I'm done with this job, I'm going to get another job is real. And I think that that happens to a lot of creatives. However, you also know that, okay, this is the average income I would get from any job I'm doing. And then you just say, okay, let me see how I can manage. I think your ability to be able to manage and be content will really save you in this career of mine. Just to be able to know that, okay, even though I want to live large and be happy and all of that, if I know that I have just this particular amount of money as of right now, I would rather not take that trip. I would rather not buy that bag. I would rather not buy that clothes. I would rather not buy that shoes. Let me just keep it and save it for the rainy day in our voice. And also like investing. Like I didn't even say I was very bad at investments. And to be honest, like if you come from a family where you have, where you're like the older one and you're responsible for a lot of people.
Investment is not the first thing on your mind.
You know.
Yes.
They are the investors.
You know.
Your younger ones.
They are your investments.
Your
They are the ones you're working for, literally. And I feel like we have a lot of last bones. Yes. We have a lot of that outside of even the creative space in Nigeria. Maybe if you're the first girl or the first born or whatever, or you're probably the one doing well, like financially amongst the others. There's just something you just feel, because also blood is thicker than water or what they say. You just feel responsible for them. Or perhaps you don't even, your parents are not really well to do. So you just feel like, oh, because I'm in this particular position now, I feel like I should be able to also help, you know, everyone else around me Wait, how did I get here? I was trying to link it up with something. The fact that you just have so many responsibilities. So you know that when I have this money, I have to keep some. I have to say, okay, I was trying to say that I didn't really know a lot about investments in the beginning. So when I just have money, I just save. I was thinking about is that when I save money, except I save that money where I cannot remove that money. But if somebody says, Juliana, something happened to me. Something is wrong with my uncle. Something is absolutely. I don't know how to say no. So that thing really affected me in the beginning. Like, I would just be giving out my money. Like, I can remove my eye and give to you if I know that that's going to save. I feel...
She's not who she is. I still help people.
But you know, like, why I had that mindset was because also... Going to therapy now really helped me, but that's therapy is like another story. Because growing up, I didn't really have a lot of people help me.
Okay.
So I feel
you
like
felt
now,
guilty.
Yes. So I no, not guilty, but I was just like, if I ever make it, I want to help people. Like, why are you not helping me?
Hmm.
Although much later, when I grew older, I realized that I'm nobody's responsibility. I have to take care of myself. Those uncles and aunties, they have children. Yeah. Being an adult will help you understand how adulthood. Yes. So you would be able to, you would even appreciate them that they even answered the phone. Or that 5K or that 1K. Or even say, oh, I will give you. Because sometimes they have the intention to give you, but other responsibilities, right? So, but I feel like because I grew up in that kind of environment, made me, like, I just told myself that there will never be a time where I have and somebody will be in need. And I would not give to the person. So that sort of like affected me so much. I didn't know that it was probably also trauma-based because of the things that I have been through and running around for money and all those things. And nobody came through for me. So I just found myself giving my money every time.
Hmm.
So what I would be like, wait, I had so much money. Where did all my money go? And you know, and some people know how to just keep coming back to suck your blood. And you know, so until I went through therapy and then I started meeting people who started to really, because sometimes you don't really know everything. And so, but when, say, for instance, if I know only about entertainment and you know a lot about finance and you know a lot about investment, it would be great for me to meet you people because you people would expose me to that. You know, so I feel like that's when things started to change. But managing it really is just like cutting your coat according to your size, knowing that there will be days where you have like you can make like 20 million or more in a month. There will be days where you make just 500K. There will be days where you make just 1 million. But because you already know that, you know, you will not always make so much money. It helps you to be able to manage your money and save ahead of those.
Yeah. And also, like, one of the biggest takeaways from your answer was knowing your average income per month.
Yeah.
And it's one thing that I realized that I myself, that my creative side, I don't even actually know how much I'm earning from my creative side, from my other side. Like, I don't have an average. So that would not even help me be able to be financially secure. So that's actually very, very important.
Sorry, I know how much you are going to spend. Because I know what I'm telling you.
Impromptu money.
You'll be spending money. You'll be like...
The account is...
You just say... You have to say, okay. So until I start saying, okay, even if anybody will ask me for money, this is... I'm assigning 100K for that money.
Yeah.
This is money I want to send to this. This is money I want to send to this. This is the money I'll be using to buy, you know, groceries or whatever for this month. This is the money I'm paying for Loma for life for this month.
Until I say...
All these views are there. I don't know if it's for you.
You put all these things in your mind. So because you just realize... If you don't know how much you are spending in a month, when you have plenty of money, just be buying, but you'll be feeling, you'll be flexy, you'll be feeling so cool. When you just wake up like,
I've not paid Loma.
Where's my money? It's like, where did my money go? You know, so like, so I used to be like that. I didn't know how much I was spending on what. I just buy, I don't even check the price.
Jacuzzi. Spending.
Wait, that's very bad.
Give me 10.
No.
Can I get 8 of that?
That's very bad. Like, sometimes when people ask me, how much did you buy? I'm like, I don't know. I have to go and start checking. And I don't even keep receipts. So it's very, it's not because I'm spending a lot, like, don't exaggerate.
Jacuzzi.
Before everybody say, I'm not yet on $10 or down with it. I will soon be greater, in fact. But I mean, like, I just didn't know how much I was spending on what. I could buy bread and not even check. I just know I paid for the bread. I don't know how much. So, but if you start to really hold yourself accountable to knowing how much you spend, it would help you to also manage your money better.
Because I myself, I'm kind of person that if I go to one supermarket and I go to another supermarket next month, I hold the receipts of what I bought last, see which one is cheaper and know where it's cheaper.
Because
there are instances where some supermarkets have had above about 1,000 naira to a product, yeah, and you can get your same products at 1,000.
You know, funny enough, you see it recently now. Too. You see it a lot now that people, even when I went to the supermarket recently, I found out that people are using that. You know, people need, there's this thing that you scan for price.
Yes.
That will show you your price.
Yeah.
People are not using it now a lot.
Sometimes you'll double, you can buy one thing, they'll
when
double
you carry the deodorant, say, ah, my type, ping. No, roll on.
Let's just do roll on.
It's not about scenting. This scenting thing. Who likes scenting?
So that financial security is very important. And I also, you know, something you said during your answer also takes me to this next question of you not having that much support when you were just coming up, you know. Sorry. And as a female entrepreneur, how can Nigerian society help, you know, in terms of support female entrepreneurs or females in the informal job sector? Is there a certain thing that Nigerian society can do just to help them, push them? Because I know it can be very hard. I know. Actually, being female, you know, being a woman.
So that in skilled worker space. So exactly. If I could just briefly speak to that. So I think one of the things that even us as a company, and I specifically, you have to be intentional about the women in this particular space. You can't put it and say, you know, open field, everybody run and kill. It doesn't work that way. It's not about equality, it's equity. You have to kind of see that a lady wants to do cleaning job, but she has a child that she has to take care of. Will she leave her child with her neighbor? Would it be safe? No. So it's one of the things that at my company we have been thinking about, how do we set up mini crèche for cleaners' children, right? How do we support them in that sense? Because someone would say, I want you to clean my house, but I don't want you to come in with your child.
Yeah.
Right? Those kind of things. And you can't blame the customer for saying that, right?
Yeah.
So the lady is now in a dilemma of, I can't do this cleaning job. So the best thing is to hawk granite with that child.
Child.
So it becomes very tough for them. So being intentional about how to get them into the space, give them a soft landing, is of great importance. And if we have given over 7,500 jobs in last 4 years, and one of the things you start to see is also things like abuse, right?
Yeah.
We have had a client who has done something funny to a cleaner, just touched her funny, and he did not know that the CEO of the company is not someone you do that with. She came to the office. She wasn't smiling. And I was wondering what was happening.
What was going on?
But she didn't want to talk. Because somehow they feel like if they talk,
they'll lose their job.
Yeah, I'm not going to get that finished job. It's helping me feel, why would I just talk about it?
Yeah.
Then I left the office. I told them, I said, talk to her. What's really the problem? And then She says, I went to his house. After calling him and saying, this is what happened, he said, are you the first to own this company? Come on. And I called the call. Then I went to give him a visit just to say hi. And then when I met him, I was like, you can't do that. Like, we're going to arrest you. We're going to put legal charges. He said, he didn't do anything. Because now there's no evidence against him. He said, but like, you don't have him. But when he saw the level of, the moment I went there and she was with me, I found out that she found her voice. She started speaking. Well, you know, the one that sometimes you will behave like this.
And that's very impressive.
She didn't have a voice before, but she needs someone to stand up for them. And a lot of that happens in this informal space where women want to take important role. They want to be part of something. And there's either,
and they have the skill, they have the talent.
They have the skill,
it.
They have the know-how. But they are struggling with, I have to do this business, but also be a mother.
Yeah.
Simultaneously, I can't afford a crèche. I can't afford a nanny. Right? how do I now balance both? That's why whenever you go to a tailor's shop or fashion designer, a fashion designer shop, you would see like either their child is carrying pin or running around with scissors. And you're like, oh, Mo, bring this. You know, all those things, they have to find how to balance it. Mm. And businesses like mine and the government has to be intentional about women when it comes to that space.
So,
I think that has even said part of the things that I wanted to say. Also, like, apart from them even being a mother, can also be them being a wife.
Yeah.
And some of them don't even have understanding husbands, let's be honest. Like,
true.
They don't have that husband that would understand that, oh, I'm coming from work. Or so there's a lot of pressure on them. So just that simple act of kindness and safety. And thank you so much for doing that. Because a lot of people that do, women or ladies or girls that do these informal jobs, go through a lot of abuse. And sometimes they cannot speak up. And because they're thinking, I would lose my job in the process and I really need this money. And you would be shocked when you find out how many people they are responsible for, as young as they are.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, I've seen, like, an 18-year-old responsible for an entire family. And she's earning just how much, maybe 60K or something. And so these people are... So when they think about the things that they are carrying on their shoulder, they will just feel like, oh, it's just an abuse. Let him just touch me. As long as I keep working here and I can get money to do whatever it is I want to do. So I feel like let's create a safe space for people. I know that we have a lot of people who are so, I don't know, I just wish that there can be proper laws for these things. Because of the way that people talk about abuse, I feel like sometimes we take it with levity and we have now become so familiar with the word that it doesn't make any sense to us anymore. But the truth is that people are going through these things every day.
Yeah.
Every single day, people are going through these things. And it's not trivial to them. It's a serious life issue to them. So I feel like we still need more laws that would just create a safe space for women, girls, young people in the society. And if we get, if you ever employ, like the fact that you're, let me talk a little more about this before I just go to the general.
Yeah.
The fact that you have employed a 19-year-old, 17, or I don't know how old, just a young girl or a young guy under your wings, or just maybe even if they are not young, just be nice to everybody. Like sometimes some of these people that you have employed, they are old enough to be your mother or your father. Just care for them. Like there is nothing wrong with you just caring for them. And like she had said it one time when she spoke the last time about sometimes people build bonds with these people because you sort of like know a little bit about what they're going through. You have food inside your house. You have food in your store that will rot in, that you will not eat, that rats will eat it.
Ah, this is personal.
No, I know. Like there are many wicked people.
And you'd rather not.
No, it's not even that. You're saying it and what I'm thinking about is how, because we get reports.
Still,
I tell people, if I'm to get to you, no matter who you are, if I'm to get to you, I just need to know, first of all, who your security guards are. Secondly, who your driver is. Third, who your nanny is. People treat those people so badly. Meanwhile, they are inside your system.
Yeah.
They are inside your system and you're treating your driver anyhow. Meanwhile, he's just tearing away from offering your destiny.
She can just put something in your food. Or your child's food.
Yes.
Or open the gates for people to steal from you.
Do you know how, if you want to know the easiest way, there are very few estates I can't pass their gate without needing code. Very, very few. All I have to do is wear this native and
drive a nice car.
Just drive, wind down. Alpha, how you doing? Where your second? Maureen, sir. How you doing? Maureen.
I don't like the way you say it. You don't
pass
the code.
Maureen, sir. As I give him the 1,000, after you, now you, boss.
Thank you, sir.
First thing I said was, where your second? So he obviously feels like I know one of them.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to give him and his second money. Automatically, I'm a resident. For me to, Then you say, Morris, our boss.
Sometimes they even it's just driving a good car. Sometimes drive a fast car.
I will park in front. You can even park in front and
Estate security.
You park in front. I'll pick something. I say, this drink. Where this other guy? Yeah, Nkunle, you give me a name, Fine, I'm give him the other drink. If I'm passing, he will see me. Boss, access.
Months.
So when
yes, exactly.
Yeah, but you see that informal code.
Yeah.
If you ask most of them why exactly is a security guard collecting money from you and just collecting assets, it's because his salary is 45K. To secure you that you are a billionaire, his salary is 45K, to end in praise.
Sorry, I was kind of really nice done, but there's something I wanted to add. What she touched on is this abuse issue is very important.
Yeah.
And it's something we really spotlighted in the report, especially in the creative industry.
Yes.
Even when we were not asking the question, it was coming out that and it's not that these employers don't have the laws. That's one thing we discovered, but they don't implement them.
Yeah.
And like you said, just caring for people.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing these people not as objects, right?
Yeah.
People would, I think we got a report that over 80% of women, if they are abused by their bosses or their predecessors, they would not even talk about
Never.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
They would not even report.
60%.
I'm like, okay, is it because you are not aware that there's a law that can, we are aware, we're not saying anything. Because it would, at the end of the day, affect us. This is a space where your image matters. Right, I'm not ready to drag anybody, and I'll now lose my job, and I won't be able to get jobs.
You'll be tagged as that girl that was abused, or that was raped, or
CTV
that was
reports.
So, yes,
it's a very
it's
a very serious.
Yes. What did he do
and
to
then,
you?
Yeah.
He touched you where?
And then also, apart from that, you don't even have money for lawsuits, and then the process in court is long.
It's long.
100
and you're supposed
years,
to be showing up to work while that is happening.
Yes, so
there should be a body for these things, though. Like.
The body is not body.
Because like what it does, like what his company does, or the fact that what you have to do in a situation, or you have to go to the client's house, and there should be like a regulatory body, especially for women.
Actually, women have regulatory bodies, but people don't trust in that. Like, can you protect me?
Yeah, I have to be careful too,
because she didn't have a voice until you were there.
I had to be careful. I had to first call my lawyer to say, I called this guy, and I know the guy doesn't stay in Nigeria a lot. So, you know, scrambling to have an accent. You know what I'm saying? I say, all right. You have a same accent too. We. And when I called him, I was like, you're not the first to do this kind of business. I beg. Then cut the call on me. There's this facade that because you have some guys wearing yellow shirts or blue shirts that are security guards, that they are protecting you. It's at this door. We knocked and we say, open the door. And my lawyer said, please do not fight. I beg you. I said, I'm not going
to
fight.
Like you were ready to take it up.
I went there. And I went there so that he would see me. I'm like, you need to see me. You need to know who you're about to deal with. Then he was now saying, nothing happened. But her voice instantly came out.
Yeah.
And fun fact, this lady is not a Nigerian. She's not a Nigerian. So she just, you know... They will come in from Chad, come in from Cotonou. They will just come get job. She does proper work. But you just find out that because of how she looks, we noticed a trend that my office was discussing yesterday, that even domestic staffing now, that we find out that you bring two maids. The madam will say, this one too fine. I beg, wait, that one. Because I don't fit. And I say, why are all the fine maids not getting jobs? The ones that God knows what he's doing, they are getting jobs. They are getting
Those are unique challenges women face.
Very unique challenge. You say, there's a lady that the moment she came in, I said, this girl will not get jobs. And I said, how did you know? I said, look at her. She's very fine. Nobody with it. And it was always the men that would say, I want that one. That is the one. The moment you are very eager to get that particular one, I would say, okay, you know, let's say, so she's not available. She's available. You must find her.
So there are so many, just from conversations that we've had, so many unique challenges that are very particular to women in the informal job sector. Just from off the top of my head, abuse is obviously the biggest case.
Big one.
Even them having been wives, being mothers, that's a lot. And that's and these women, they have the know-how, they have the skill, they have the talent. Yep. Even this little thing of even saying, oh, beauty standards, it's also, it's also included into unique.
If I'll just quickly add something about the wives. We have a small business and entrepreneurship course that we started for women. And it's amazing that, imagine that women have taken the training. And we now have a partnership with FCMB to provide microloans. Seeing that, okay, access to finance is a problem, right? Yeah. And then these women go home and then they say, oh, my husband said I can't take the loan. So there are serious issues and challenges. They want to start this business, but my husband is saying I can't take the loan and he has to sign. Mm.
Some women don't even have bank accounts. Their husbands, they use their bank accounts.
For, exactly. Husband. And that's why we did that partnership where you can open a bank account and then you would have access to credit.
That's why I also said from the start that some of these women don't have supportive husbands. Some of them still believe, their husbands believe that they should never earn more than them. Like, I am the head of this house.
That too.
So just be content with your 20K you're earning. And why do you want to go and get a loan? What if it doesn't
taking
work?
Taking care of you now.
Yes, am I not? Yeah. What if it doesn't work and all this? Yes.
I don't owe anybody.
Yes.
I don't anybody
and then
to
we are owing people and all of that.
So many, so many unique challenges, man. And, but just to wrap up, let me ask you, what does the future in Nigerian informal sector, what does it look like? 5 to 10 years, like, do you think more people are going to be into the informal than the formal? Because 76% is already a lot, you know.
Yes.
And like you said, it's obviously the backbone of the employment sector in Nigeria. So I think people are going to like try to be much more creative, or people are actually going to, you know, there's some people, I've had people that tried to do possibly acting or content creation, they like doing it, but they just can't do it and just end up saying, maybe it's just all their thing. They can't be entrepreneurs. They can't, you know, own businesses. It's so hard for them. So they just end up saying, you know what, maybe I'm actually born to do 9 to 5.
Have you tried dancing on TikTok?
Some people have tried how I'm if it didn't day, it didn't day. If it didn't day, it didn't day. So people just be like, oh, maybe I'm actually born to work in bank till I die. Maybe I'm just born to just go from, while their actual dreams are probably to become an actress or all of those things. So like, what does the future for the informal sector, what does it look like, you know?
I mean, before even talking about the informal sector, I think the essence of employment generally is just that people have access to opportunities and you can, you know, live your authentic self. Know, like, self-discovery, self-awareness, do what you enjoy, do what you're passionate about, and something that would add value to you and you're able to give back value to the society. That's just the essence of it all. And I think that there's this bold statement we usually make that the future of work is going to be informal. Yeah. And that's, if you look at the trends, I know we couldn't talk about digitization and urbanization and all those things. Freelance, gig work, the fact that you can be working for someone in China and you're here in Nigeria. Yeah. So that 9-to-5 structure, it would take a lot of intentionality, right? So there are still people who would, you know, continue working in that space.
Yeah.
But I think what it would do is it will force employers to optimize that space. Don't just assume that because, oh, it's a 9-to-5, there'll be more structure around career progression. Yeah. Where people come in and yes, I know I'm making impact on it on a large scale, this in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I want to know how I am getting value, you know, I'm growing as a person and how I'm giving value to this organization. So I think talent sharing, you'll be seeing a lot more of that in the next 5 years. I also think that a lot of people are paying attention to this, just like Rona. There are other entrepreneurs that are paying. Nigeria is a very entrepreneurial economy.
Yeah.
Innovation, it's just sad that, you know, we're not necessarily investing
that much into it,
as much as you have young people innovating. I think that there will be more digital. There was already a report that spoke to the number of digital platforms supporting the informal sector would double in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of structure around it. You have more verification, like what Rona is doing. You'd have people that will be more skilled, or they'll be able to put validation on their skills.
Yeah.
There'll be visibility for their skills. I also think that maybe in the next 5 years, and it's going to be very easy for these businesses to put structure around work. Mm. Okay. So it's not just going to be a one-man business, SMEs. They'll be able to, with policies.
I think in the entertainment industry, you know, she being in it, there's a bit more structure than, you know, other industries.
Exactly. Agriculture, creatives, you would have more tailored policies. So you can't just make one policy for the entire informal sector. You have to look at specific industries. What do they need? What is expected in those industries? So I think, the future work is going to be largely informal. And
one thing that I've just learned is that, or what I've just realized is, entertainment industry is actually the forefront of the informal job sector. Because even in terms of like digitalization, obviously we couldn't go through
that.
Because if I'm looking for somebody, a brand influencer or anything that has a niche to sell, market, I can still go to Instagram. You can, it's easy to research. Exactly. If I'm looking for a plumber that wants to, much more. So I feel like entertainment industry is even the forefront of it all, and other sectors and other industries will probably be able to
services,
follow suit.
Services, retail, trade.
Yeah. You know. So, all right. Thank you guys for
coming. I want to say something about, you know, when you talked about how we can support women in the informal sector, I talked about like the traditional sector. Also, like for like just maybe a woman who is an entrepreneur who makes dresses or something or whatever. Like, let's just genuinely support our people and buy at the rates they are selling. Some of us will leave this place and not buy. I'll go and buy one dress in Dubai and buy one dress. You now come back and still give them to help you adjust it. Yes. So, let's really just pay them.
Support them as well.
Also, like, there's really nothing bad. Like, if you see somebody that is doing one business, this one is a little personal.
So,
there's really nothing wrong with supporting that woman. But you always want to be the one that will come and post and decide somebody's
Gary.
It's like, not fair. And let's be honest, being an entrepreneur, owning a business is very hard.
Yeah.
So I have a sister who sells online. So she talks about how these people would just be messaging you as if you're a machine. Like they just like a magic stand or something.
Yeah.
Let's be patient. It's the same way when you want to order something from maybe Dior or something. You will wait. They will bring you. Wait, so they say 14 working days. Let it be 14 working
pressure
days.
Local.
Wait, it's not fair, honestly. Let's show them support. Let's buy. Let's also trust the brand. And I feel like people are doing that better now, especially
when I was in university, in addition to what she said, and then we'll round up. People, you know, when you want to buy shirts, buy Marks and Spencer's rather than Tayo or Lanyon. Do you understand? We buy Ralph Lauren rather than Tayo Fashion or something. Yeah. Do you understand? So we'd rather go for the. It got to a point where I used to work in guys, Nigerians that got into fashion, they would name their brands foreign names, George Bush, just to attract buyers because people would rather buy things. Saying that
if you see Abba on it, you will not believe its quality.
Meanwhile, Abba has good quality. Good quality. So
So you guys just learn how to support,
invest too. If you have the money, please invest.
Exactly. Thank you guys for being
here. And here's the report. You can also check out the report on www.jobberman.com.
I'm going to attach the link
in
the description.
.com/report,
You guys know where to just watch any movie on Netflix. And then runner up, and then MERL lead. That job role I ever am before. But it's very, very good to know you overseeing the report and just some of all these assessments is very needed. You know, it helps in enlightening us and us getting to know more about the sector. Okay. So thank you guys for being here. Make sure you share to your friends and families. Share to your friends that are learning skills. Share to your friends that are doing content creation, entrepreneurs, actresses, fashion designers, tailors. So you guys, see you guys next week.